Phil Hendry.
Well, let's get our, just before we do anything else, welcome to the final hour here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're looking at, because Dan was telling me in Medford, Oregon tonight, there it is, man, 26 degrees. It's 47 down here. 47?
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I'm just not used to it being 47. I haven't, the last time it was 47, I don't know when it was. It's 74 in Miami.
Man, I'll tell you, Miami, that, man.
Well, it's Florida in the wintertime. Obviously, it's going to be very nice.
74 in Miami right now. I mean, it's middle, it's January. I mean, I remember when I first started in radio, I started in Orlando, Florida. And this was way back in 1973. But I worked the Midnight to Six show.
So you've come a long way.
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, Phil, don't get upset. That was very funny.
Yeah, I've come along. What's that supposed to mean, man? I was doing a local show then. In fact, I was doing Midnight to Six in Orlando, Florida, in Winter Park, Florida, on a radio station, the signal of which went due east. Now, that doesn't sound bad. At night, you have a directional signal, necessarily bad. But in Orlando, Florida, when the signal went due east in 1972, you basically had cows, rocket ships, and fish. And that's who you were broadcasting to.
Cows, rocket ships.
What do you mean rocket ship?
Cape Canaveral was out there. That was it. So we had some cows, we had a couple of, maybe an astronaut, and then maybe a sailfish, and a, hey, it's Phil Hendry, and good evening. But I'll tell you, in the summer, and that's when I started. I started in May of 73, and it was like 76 degrees at night, you sweating your ass off. I couldn't believe how warm it got at night. Well, it's the same way now. 47 down here. All right. We're talking about this Costa Concordia here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And by the way, get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com, and you will be happy that you did. And tomorrow night at 7:30 Central Time, 5, did I say 7:30? 5:30 Pacific, we're going to have football with Phil on Phil TV in HD. It'll be the Green Bay-San Francisco game. I'll be sitting in with you, watching, commenting, drinking, eating snack food, etc.
So you will be eating snack food. You're going to go off on a diet.
Nah, I'm not going to eat snack food. I'll just, I'll probably have some tequila shots. And those are 98 calories per. You know, I got, when it comes to booze, I've got the calorie thing down. All right. The captain of the cruise ship Costa Concordia has admitted he was distracted by a phone call at the time it capsized off of Italy in January of 2012, 1 year ago, killing 32 people, including two Americans. This is the anniversary, sad though it may be, of the capsizing of the Costa Concordia. 32 people. And, you know, just to give you an example, how many people died in the Titanic? 1,500 people went down, I think, something like that. So, and we just heard from one of the survivors, two of the survivors, a husband and wife, who said that they didn't want to be in the middle of that crush of people getting to the lifeboats. They didn't want to sit there pushing and just, you know, being a part of a mob. And so they elected to go to the back of the line. And they both figured that they would not get to a lifeboat because, as Dan pointed out here, because the ship was listing to one side, part of it was underwater. So those lifeboats were shot. So you only had essentially half the lifeboats for the full complement of passengers.
What do you mean by complement? Do that they compliment each other?
Well, it's an honest question.
Because if you're messing with me...
No, I swear.
Compliment means the full amount. Francesco Schettino gave his first interview on Tuesday night after being released from house arrest by a judge. The Costa Concordia... So this guy was under house arrest, huh? The Costa Concordia, carrying more than 4,200 passengers, ran aground January 13th off the coast of Italy. At least 25 people died in the accident, and rescuers continue to search for others that are missing. 7 people missing, then. He is accused of causing the accident by taking the liner too close to rocks near the island of Giglio off of Italy's west coast, and of abandoning the liner while many passengers and crew were still on board. He told Italy's Channel 5 he does not accept full blame for the wreck, but said, "I feel guilty for having been distracted." He was making a phone call to a man on shore, a retired captain he was in the process of saluting when the accident happened, and that the navigation at that moment was under another officer's control.
So it wasn't technically his responsibility.
Well, you know, he's the captain of the ship, but let's put it this way. You have duties that you are either, you're either conducting your duty or you're, for the moment, the duty is passed to somebody else. And you are making a phone call or you're doing what you may, you could be in the bathroom.
Yeah, but that's giving a guy a, he wasn't in a bathroom. If he'd been in a bathroom making a phone call, that would be doubly bad.
Yeah, as it was, he's just making a phone call. Why would that be doubly bad if he's in the bathroom making a phone call?
Well, you imagine a guy sitting in a toilet and making a phone call? I mean, that's bad.
Why is that bad? I mean...
Well, Ms. Gray, I can't expect you to be objective about it on account of the number of hours you spend sitting on a toilet seat. And
you know, I, Phil, I'm telling you...
Well, he's right. He's right. You know, you're in the bathroom a lot.
But why is that an abdication of his duty because he's sitting there on the toilet with a cell phone?
The appearance, I guess.
Yeah, it looks bad. To be sitting there with your pants down around your ankle on a phone, man, that's bad. It looks pretty bad, and I'd have the guy shot. He might not even be guilty.
Well, why would you have him shot?
Because that's about as bad as it gets. The appearance of the guy...
All right, Don Mixa is on the line with us from Seattle. He is an engineering... Don is an engineering professor at the University of Washington, but he also is an expert in maritime matters. He is the member emeritus there of the Puget Yacht Club, and Don joins us from Seattle tonight. Don, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Thank you.
Do you know anything of maritime law as it applies to this sort of thing, where a captain may not be necessary? He's on the bridge, or he's in charge of the ship, but the actual navigational duties are at that moment assigned to somebody else.
The way that the duties fall, Phil, is quite frankly, the captain is responsible. Ultimately, as we've learned this from the Exxon Valdez and so on and so forth, you may be in your cabin at the time. You might be distracted doing something else, but and it could very well be that, as you said, the navigation of the craft had passed to another officer. But he was on the ship at the time. He was the captain of the ship, and it was his duty to, you know, be pilot.
What did he say?
What?
What did you say?
I'm sorry, I said he was the captain of the ship, and he was on doing the time, and was down being, you know, part of it, and done by then.
I can't understand it. Don, this is Margaret Gray.
Yes, Margaret.
You're trailing off.
Yeah, he's on this...
What I said was it's the duty of the captain to be on board the craft, and he's on board the bridge at the time. And while the navigation of the craft is not technically something that he is conducting at that particular time, he's on telephone, he's going to go down there.
What? You know, you're fading out.
I'm very relaxed, and I'm just saying something. I figure you probably already know. I just can't move, but I'll be there.
All right, let's try something else here. So the captain. Now we were talking about the craft and the fact that you know he was in charge of it, and then it got it ran aground, and he had another guy there. Now he's on the phone. Is there something that is going to? Is it egregious if he was on the phone and in the bathroom? I mean, is there? This is what Bud's got me thinking.
Well, I think Bud makes a very good point, and you know, being Bud, we all enjoy Bud. I am a little surprised, Bud, that you would be so astute as to bring that up. But it is a violent violation of the laws of maritime law for you to. It's one thing to be on a cell phone or be on making a phone call. That's bad enough, but to be sitting on a toilet with your and if the pants are down around the ankles and you got a cell phone, and forgive me for saying this, but we've had cases where guys have actually been, you know, playing with it. You know.
Again, I can't hear you. You've got to speak up, Don.
I'm sorry. I'm trying. In other words, what I'm saying is we've got cases where not only is the guy in the can and he is using the can, he's sitting with his pants down going to the bathroom, and he's playing, and he's got the phone, and he's also maybe just because he saw a dirty picture, he's got the same thing.
And that's really bad.
Yes, it's absolutely bad because you not only is your, you know, not only are you on the phone, but your you know, pension went off and you got a thing in the hand.
I can't understand what you're saying.
I said you're not only in the band. I just get very relaxed and that's my thing.
Well, you're getting too relaxed because every the sentences that you're speaking, they're trailing off.
I don't know what you mean by that.
They're going, you know.
Yeah, I'll do it. Hey, Professor Mixon, this is Robert.
Yeah, Robert.
It sounds like this. You're going, yeah, and he's in the bathroom, and he's on the phone, and me, baby, blah, 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 like that.
All right, well, I'll try to be clear. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just if you don't mind, I know you're getting relaxed, but don't relax so much we can't.
Yeah, I can't understand it.
So let me ask you, Don, so you agree that it's one thing to be on the cell phone, but it would be doubly bad to be sitting on the toilet?
Absolutely. I mean, look at the perception of that. Your ship is sinking, and what were you doing? I was on the phone, and I had my pants down.
Well, you're doing something necessary.
But people don't go there. People don't go there with that. They think, if you say I was on the phone with my pants off, there's only one thing they're thinking about, and it's not flattering, and it's the height of lazy. I think we're all agreed that there isn't anything lazier in this world. There's nothing more shiftless. There is nothing more irresponsible, shiftless, lazy, and bum-like than to be staring at something on the screen of your cell phone with your pants off.
Well, but the perception that you're referring to could not be further from the truth if the guy's using the facilities.
I agree with you, Phil, but that is not what people are going to do. And I am in the business of perception as well as reality. I'm telling you, somebody got down your bum, pulled down your pants.
All right, well,
Okay, I'm going to let you go, Don. Sounds like you could probably use some sleep, huh?
I'm okay, but I just, you know, yeah, thank you.
Good night. Was he like that when you called him?
Well, I sounded tired and everything. I said, Mr. Mixer, Professor Mixer, this Bud Dickman, you'd be on the radio. He goes, yeah. And I go, are we waking you up? He goes, yeah. I go, well, can we talk to you? He goes, yeah. And I said, it's not too late. And he goes, yeah.
He said, yeah, to everything?
Well, everything I asked him, it just so happened that the right answer was a yeah.
It sounded to me like he was asleep.
No.
Well, if the guy's just going, yeah, 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 I bet you if you would have asked him, hey, do you feel like slitting your wrists? He would have said, yeah.
Yes, I did ask him that.
What do you mean you did ask him that?
Because I thought that I was bothering him, and I said, do you feel like slitting your throat? Or I said, do you feel like cutting your own throat? He goes, yeah.
Why would you ask him a question like that?
Because it sounded like I was bugging him.
So everything you asked this guy, he said, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds to me like he was asleep.
No, I mean, I got on the phone, too, because Bud was worried. He said, I don't know this guy. I said, are you awake, Professor? He goes, yeah. I said, are you tired? He goes, yeah. I said, do you want to go back to bed? He goes, yeah. I said, I asked every kind of question, and it all sounded logical.
You asked every kind of question, and it all sounded logical. Do you feel like slitting your own throat? Are you guys kidding me? I don't buy it for a minute.
You know, you guys should quit fooling around and start taking your job seriously.
I do take my job seriously. Of the things that they do.
All right, we got to take a break. Look at how late we are. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
If only this was entertaining, it might be worth it.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. That's what he said, just like that. He goes, yeah, 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 yeah.
With Don Mixa, and by the way, on Super Bowl Sunday, speaking of Phil TV, on Super Bowl Sunday, and I believe we can use the words Super Bowl, can we not?
Why couldn't you?
On account of the NFL has a copyright.
It's true. The NFL has the copyright on the term Super Bowl. Now, you know how I feel about copyright infringement. I believe in protecting and observing people's copyright, and I happen to know the law. And, you know, these people would love to message me and say, yeah, do you have right to use the picture? I said, listen, it's called, see, I know what safe harbor and fair use is, and you can use it so long as the copyright holder has not asked you to take it down. Once they ask you to take it down, you must take it down. Now, the term Super Bowl is protected under the copyright laws, I should say trademark, okay?
Yes, that would be a mark. That would be a mark, and in this instance, a trademark.
Exactly. So the NFL has rigorously enforced in recent years what they consider to be the bad use or the improper use or even just the use of the words Super Bowl. There's a lot of advertising that goes on when it comes to the Super Bowl. So we'll say, for instance, Super Bowl sale, you know, a Super Bowl this and that.
Yes, and the reason why are you looking like that, Bud?
Why do you get upset with the way he looks?
Because he looks like he smelled something that...
It does! No!
You look like you just smelled something that came out of someone's ass, okay?
No, but in a way. What I mean is, the Super Bowl is...
Can I do it, Bud? Because I know what I'm talking about. Super Bowl, commercial use of that is a commercial misappropriation. If we're sitting here talking about the Super Bowl, all right, that's cool. If I say we're going to have a Super Bowl marathon of the Milwaukee Lions on Super Bowl Sunday, if I advertise a Super Bowl marathon, then, you know, and I'm capitalizing on the Super Bowl, then that is a misappropriation.
Well, wouldn't you be?
No, because I'm not asking people to watch the Super Bowl. I'm not even using the Super Bowl as a way of promoting this. I'm just saying it's going to be happening on Super Bowl Sunday.
Wait a minute, man. That doesn't sound right to me.
Hold on. I'll explain. If I say that we're going to have a Milwaukee Lion Marathon on Super Bowl Sunday, I'm just telling you what day we're going to have this Milwaukee Lion Marathon. Do you understand? I am not enticing people to watch the Milwaukee, to listen to the broadcast or listen to the podcasts because they're thinking they're going to get the Super Bowl, because they're not. It's just happening on Super Bowl Sunday. So if I say, for instance, there's a Super Bowl sale, all right, there's a Super Bowl sale for TVs and appliances. That sounds like the Super Bowl, the National Football League, endorses it.
Well, what are you saying?
I'm saying we're simply doing it on Super Bowl Sunday. I'm not saying that the NFL is not, I'm not calling it the Super Bowl Marathon. I'm not saying it's the Super Bowl Milwaukee Lion Marathon. I'm not saying it's the Phil TV Super Bowl. I wouldn't say any of that stuff. I say there's a Milwaukee Lion Marathon on Super Bowl Sunday. I'm simply saying that's when it's taking place.
Why don't you say it's on a Sunday instead of, say, the Super Bowl?
Because it's on Super Bowl Sunday. What do you want me to say?
Yeah, but you're saying, you know...
Yeah, I'm waiting.
No, you're saying that there's going to be a Milwaukee Lion Marathon on Super Bowl Sunday. So aren't you saying that it's going to be on a day that the NFL is doing... The Super Bowl, I still think there's something wrong with it.
Well, you can think there's something wrong with it, but you got to be able to articulate it. I know that there's nothing wrong with it. I know that I'm not saying that the NFL endorses it. I'm not saying that the NFL approves of it. I'm not saying that I'm doing it in conjunction with the NFL or the, you know...
No, you're not. You're seeing it on a Super Bowl.
But it's the same thing. The Super Bowl, National Football League, it's their commercial mark. I'm not saying that it is a part of... the grand event that is the Super Bowl. I am simply saying that we're doing a marathon on the Sunday that the Super Bowl is being played. Now, you can think what you want, but that's not a commercial misappropriation. The commercial misappropriation is when you say, Super Bowl savings, Super Bowl this, Super Bowl that. That is what the NFL has taken exception to, and that's what they've gone to court to overturn, and that's what they looks to me like they, will continue to win at. So in any event, that's what I wanted to say. We're going to have a marathon probably on Super Bowl Sunday. Now, Phil watching the ball game, now that is a situation where I am using the NFL cast, but I'm using it in a tape-delayed way as a news event.
Uh-huh. Try and dig your way out of this one.
And I,
Yeah, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
Well, sound like you are, man. I'll come up with a good reason why we can do it. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I'm going to call the NFL and tell them you're doing it.
Oh, great. Thank you, Margaret.
I'm calling... Hello. NFL? Phil Henry.
Here, I'll do it. Hello, NFL? My name's Bud Dickman. The guy that I work for, Phil Henry.
Phil Henry.
Right there, minus one, then two, and then 72.
It's not minus one, then. It's 72 in Texas.
That's Texas, Bud. Welcome back to the show, folks. We're talking about weather here, and we're looking at a weather map. If you're watching Phil TV in HD right now, we have a weather map up that shows current temperatures because it's butt cold down here in California, and I'm not saying that we got it bad. We're in Southern California. It's 46 degrees here on the coast here in just north of Los Angeles. And as you go up the coast, San Francisco, 43 degrees. All across the country, though, with the exception of, like, the Rocky Mountains, it's all kind of, like, the same.
No, it's not. Look at that. There's 72, and then it goes to 31, and then, like, 73.
What is it with you, man? You got the Texas border, then you go up to Montana, and then you're down to Florida.
No. Yeah, you are, man. Don't you know how to read a map?
Bud, that's Texas, then that's Montana, then that's down to Florida, and then you're popping back up again to upstate New York.
What's that one there that's blue?
That's New York.
Yeah, but the other one's blue, too.
That's because that's the temperatures. That's not the state. The other one is Pennsylvania.
They're both blue.
You know something, man? I don't even know why I've got you working on the air with me. I really don't.
You need to go back to school.
What are you talking about?
But for a guy that can't even read a map, why do I have you fooling around on this show? I had to have you back in school studying maps, okay?
No one cares about no map. Who cares about that?
I mean, he's got a point.
No, he doesn't have a point.
Well, Phil, you do tend to overemphasize areas of interest for yourself.
No, I'm not. What are you talking about? Are you telling me that you don't need to read a map?
It's... you find it interesting, but who cares?
Yeah, you're all like, ooh, look, there's Pennsylvania. So what?
So what? I'm telling you that it is a level of literacy to be able to know where the hell you are on a map, and no one's ever going to be able to convince me otherwise. To not know where you are, and this is, you see, you're using the argument that people use who never really learned how to read a map, and so they think, I'm telling you, if you don't know how to read a map, it's the same as not being able to read.
Oh, come on.
No, it's the same as not being able to read. You're illiterate. You're illiterate. If you can't even find your place on a map, let me tell you this. If you can't do the very basic thing, I don't think they should graduate anybody from a high school if they can't find their own state on a map.
Oh, come on, man. How many people can do that?
Are you serious? Are you trying to tell me that if that's the case, then we ought to keep everybody in high school?
Well, then, if that were the case, I'd still be in high school.
Great. You, Bud, Robert, you guys could all be in the same remedial class.
Well, if you think I belong in the same... Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Are you telling me... Where were you born? Pennsylvania, right?
Yes.
Find Pennsylvania on that map.
Well, I know where it is now.
Go ahead.
There.
Nice going, Margaret. That's Illinois.
No, wait a minute.
Illinois?
Right there.
Kentucky?
You know what, you can... I'm not going to play this game.
I think it's embarrassing. You just pointed out Illinois and Kentucky. You don't even know where Pennsylvania is.
All right, smartass. Where is it?
Right there.
That's what you say.
That's what I say? Folks, here, I'll ask the audience. I am going to point at it... Well, you can't see.
Yeah, see, they can't see what you're pointing at. Which one, Pennsylvania?
Which one, Pennsylvania?
Which one's Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Pennsylvania is on the eastern part of the, it's on the right side of the United States, and it is up in that blue streak. It is just to the lower right of the lakes, the Great Lakes, And I'll tell you where Pennsylvania is. It has the numerals 42 and 46 bordering it on the Atlantic Ocean and the number 50 in its lower left-hand corner. That's where Pennsylvania is. And
well, that doesn't say anything. There's a million states up there that have that.
No, there are not. People know what I'm talking about. Pennsylvania is on the East Coast. It's below New York. That's Pennsylvania.
So it's that one there?
Yes, that's Pennsylvania. That's where you're from.
I know I come from a state on the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, then, Margaret, if you know you come from a state on the Atlantic Ocean, why did you point to two states that are not anywhere near an ocean?
Where's the ocean?
Right there's the ocean, that big blue thing.
The big blue thing.
Yeah, but Sandra, you know, I understand what you're saying, but nobody cares anymore about...
Let me ask you guys a question, if nobody cares. Do you know what an ocean looks like?
Yeah.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
Of course we do.
Well, you couldn't find it on the map.
I know that Pennsylvania's near an ocean.
And yet you pointed to two states that were landlocked.
What's landlocked?
Boy, you know, you really love to talk about how smart you are.
What do you mean? Are you talking about inside the...
Talk about landlocked as if it's inside.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what landlocked is. It's inside.
You love to lord it over people because you, oh, I love geography.
I'm just telling you, I think it's a cry and shame. It's a cry and shame. Where's Pennsylvania? I'm talking to an educated woman. You graduated from the University of Pennsylvania.
Yes, I did, and with honors.
Well, I think that's a shame, and you can't find Pennsylvania on a map.
I knew where it was, but I took sleeping medication.
Yeah, you're making up an excuse now.
Bud, why don't you just clam up? Because you don't know where it is either. Where's California? You from California?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Right there.
That's Mexico.
No, I'm not there. I didn't know. I didn't point to that. You missed where I was pointing.
Yeah, you did. You pointed to Mexico, man.
Do you know where California is?
Yeah, right there.
See, Robert's the only one of the three of you that knows where California is.
I knew where California was.
Where is it?
Right there, where he pointed.
So, Bud, where is Oregon?
I don't know where Oregon is. Who cares?
It's just above California. Did I ever tell you the story of the kid that I was talking to on an airplane one time? This poor kid, I say poor kid, he was on his way to Camp Pendleton. We were flying from Dallas, and he was a Marine. He was going to be enlisting in the Marine Corps, and he was from Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm not trying to say anything about Louisiana or any other place. I think that this kid could have been from anywhere. He could have been from New York City. And he's flying on this plane with me, and, you know, I got to talking to him, and I found out he was enlisting in the Marine Corps, and he was on his way to San Diego. And he said, he asked me, he said, what state is San Diego in? I said, it's in California. And then he said, that's the state that goes all the way up to Canada, isn't it?
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
How old was he?
He was 18. He was not much younger. At the time, I was only about 23, 24 myself. He said, where's San Diego? I said, it's in the state of California. And he said, that's that state that goes all the way up to Canada, isn't it? I said, no. I said, there's two states between California and Canada, Oregon and Washington. And he goes, oh, okay, yeah.
Well, you should have told him he's too much of a dumbass to be on a Marine Corps.
I'll bet you he probably found that out eventually, you know.
What a waste of space.
Oh, and listen to you.
Well, Phil, I'm not going to be on an airplane saying, where's Pennsylvania? Is that the state that goes all the way to Canada?
No, but if I would have said to you, where's your state? You would have gone, Illinois.
No, I wouldn't have gone, Illinois. Never mind. I think this is... It's beneath me. It's beneath my dignity.
You said a dirty word.
I beg your pardon?
No, she didn't.
No. You're not getting off that. What do you think I said?
You said D, and then it ends with a C-K, nitty.
I can't hit him.
No, you may not hit him, and no, you may not get up and leave.
That is as vulgar. I'm a woman and a mother.
Oh, Margaret.
She did, though.
No, she didn't. You're being a jackball, and the days are coming here, bud. You know, I gave you that right jab last night. You remember that one, right?
Yeah, you almost broke my nose.
No, he didn't, man. He barely touched you all walking around going, like, sound like an idiot.
Yeah, well, I had to make sure no blood comes spurting out.
You didn't have any blood coming out of your nose, that's for sure. All right, folks, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, of course, is online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com for all of your needs, for all of your radio needs, and anything else that you may want. It's there at philhenryshow.com. By the way, we didn't get through the whole story on the captain of the Concordia, but to kind of wrap the whole thing up, he was interviewed by Channel 5, Italy's Channel 5. He said that he was on the phone. Oh, yeah, that's right. Then we got in with Harvey Weirman, didn't we? Wasn't he talking about that?
No, Harvey wasn't talking about it.
Oh, we talked to Don Mixa. That's it. That clown that was going... The bottom line on this thing is the guy's been under house arrest. He was interviewed by the television station. He was making this phone call when the ship's accident occurred, but he was not at the navigation of the ship at that time. It was another officer's responsibility. He apologized to his countrymen in the interview, saying, "It is normal that I should say sorry, that I should apologize." He said he thought about the victims a lot and became emotional when reminded of five-year-old Delana Ariati, who was the youngest one to lose her life. Oh, good Lord. "This question devastates me. It is terrible. Let's leave it, please."
Well, I'll bet he doesn't want to be reminded of that.
Anyway, the one-year anniversary, folks, of the capsizing of the ship, the Costa Concordia, happened last year on January the 13th. Man, that was a huge story. And it's funny, when I get to thinking about stories and I get to thinking about news events, and how big they were at the time, and then they just get swallowed up by another story, and they get swallowed up by another story. And this past week, you know, a gunman opened fire here yesterday at a school in California. But it's like this stuff is just happening. And I got to tell you something. I'm swearing off news talk. I'm swearing off news talk that I don't give a damn about, you know. I'm swearing off news talk that I find dull as hell. And I'm not going to be going on and on about this stuff, but this story, this whole thing about guns and the fact that I'm a gun rights guy, it's starting to wear on me, this jazz. It's really starting to wear me down.
You're going to talk about being a gun control guy.
No, not yet, but I'm getting close to, to saying we got to do something drastic. My solution is, like I said, knock it off with all the internet sales and, mail order stuff.
Do they still have mail order, like the catalogs and things like that?
No, they still wipe their butt with it.
Yeah.
They still wipe their butt with it, huh?
Yeah, they put them in an outhouse.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous, this show has just gone to hell in a handcart. We got 15 minutes left. Let's see if we can hold it together for 15 more minutes. Then we got the weekend, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, 3 a.m. in the middle of the country, and 2 a.m. in the almost middle of the country, the mountain middle, as opposed to the central middle. But then there's East and there's West.
And there is also Atlantic time.
Atlantic time, but there's no American part of America that's on Atlantic time.
But by Alaska.
Alaska is on Alaska time, I guess, and Hawaii is on...
Hawaii is on, like, hula time, no, aloha time. So.
What do you mean, hula time?
What do you mean, hula time?
I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. That's the good answer. I don't know what the hell they're on, Pacific time or...
Well, it's Polynesia.
Well, they're on their own... Never mind. The point is that those are the times that we're on, and that those are the times that we're off. And, of course, as I mentioned, we're online at philhenryshow.com. Now, getting back to the whole football thing, it's a news event. If I'm carrying it tape delayed, I don't know. I'll have to look into it. Maybe I won't be able to do this. We did it last year, but I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. So if I believe, as I do, heartily in copyright, in protecting copyright, and people, you know, the people that are online and downloading illegally generally are younger people. They don't understand the law. They don't think they'll get caught, so on and so forth. And I'm not interested in catching people that are downloading stuff to use. I'm interested in the people that put it up there illegally. They know that they're putting it up there illegally. They know that they're violating the copyright laws. They know that they're violating trademark, and they're doing it anyway because to them, they don't see that there's a consequence to this. And when it comes to the internet, and you can't find out the identity of a person, then there is a consequence. However, if you issue a takedown to whoever is hosting it, like YouTube, for instance, they must take it down. The individual that posted it, then they got to deal with YouTube.
So what happens if someone posts on YouTube something that is copyright protected, it belongs to someone else?
If that person sees it, the person that owns it?
Yes.
That person then says to YouTube, they don't deal with the person that put it up there. They deal with YouTube and they say, YouTube, there's something there. It belongs to me, and I'm telling you that it belongs to me, and here is my statement of proof, and I swear under penalty of perjury. There's a number of things that the law requires. You're also required to put down the name of an attorney, the phone number, and so forth. And you say to YouTube, take that down. YouTube then takes it down. Now, whoever posted it, that's between them and YouTube. And generally what YouTube does is they... if they have to tell you more than once to not post copyright infringing material, you lose the account. Now, you know, you can go back on YouTube and sign up with a different account, which is what a lot of people do. But it's sort of, it doesn't, you know, there's diminishing returns on that, because how often do you want to keep having your account shut down while you're posting stuff and so on and so forth? So that's the situation. And I, you know, we are aggressive in the way that we pursue that. Now, one of the things that, you know, I have copyright attorneys, and as I like to say, my attorneys are downtown. They're not West Side. They're downtown.
That good?
I like to think it's good.
Well, what does that mean? They're downtown, not West Side. My, you know, Frank is a West Side attorney.
Frank's an entertainment attorney. Frank's, you know, he's a Zsa Zsa Gabor-style attorney.
Well, what is that? Is that disparaging?
No, it's not disparaging, but I wouldn't say that Frank's a hardball guy. I want the hardball guys, you know, the guys that are that'll go to war. So, and I'm just kidding around here. So in any event, you know, there's a lot of different strategy that you use. And now that we are being, our website is moving to a new platform and we have new producing partners, we've got more people involved in this. And it becomes, you know, get even more protected and more protected. I can see the day. I know the day is going to arrive, man, when I'm going to file a lawsuit.
What do you got to do for a lawsuit?
You can sue people that are posting your material. And generally, you don't get any money because these people are, like I said, they're young. They don't get it. When you finally say to them, you screwed up and, you know, you better take it down or you're going to get sued. It finally takes a while. It finally occurs to them that they really did do something that's going to get their ass into hot water. And they kind of go away. But some people really dig their heels in because the idea, the Pirate Party has, their message has been misconstrued. The Pirate Party is this Internet Freedom Party. And so the message of the Pirate Party has been misinterpreted by a lot of people to mean just go ahead and violate all kinds of copyrights. I've spoken to members of the Pirate Party, and that's not where they're at all. They don't believe in violating copyright. They just want to make this process easier and simpler and not be so, not affect the consumer as much. But, you know, the point is you tell them you take it down, otherwise you get sued. Now, there are people that want to dig their heels in, and sooner or later you got to sue them, you know. And basically what that means is you're going to get attorney money. You're not going to get any bread.
Well, what about a large company, though? Like if you find out that, you know, there's a big company out there, like CBS or...
Well, you know, if you can get your hooks into a big company, yeah, you sue them. I would. I'd sue them for a lot of money. You know, if they can afford it. But CBS, you don't worry about people like that. They're not going to freaking infringe Phil Henry's copyright. No, you're talking about the little guys. And some cat, when we did our Reddit interview, the guy says, hey, you know, what's up with you and the copyright infringement thing? And I said, well, it's my business, you know, it's how I make my living. And so, like any other business, I would protect my product. He goes, well, I mean, if I had more than one, I wouldn't mind if people took it. I said, if you had more than one, you wouldn't mind if they took the other stuff?
Yeah.
So some guy chimed in and said, well, that's exactly what happens with recordings and videos. There are more than one of them, and they still are, you know, obviously owned and protected by the law. So this guy, I think he was probably about, I think he was like 45 going on 13. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. Join us online at philhenryshow.com, where you get, as I mentioned, live streaming video of our show, over 4,500 hours of downloadable material, and of course, you have a daily podcast, and you have our video cast, and you got all of that stuff. So join us for that, and we'll see you Monday. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.